Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. You know, one of the reasons I started a show, which is also part of a company, which is also part of a movement called Underdog Stuff. This idea of how do we help each other, especially underdogs who may have gone off track, get our swagger back in the different areas of our life, like politics, like business, like life. It's because I saw, or at least notice, a gap. And, you know, I'm not into either or. I believe there's an opportunity for a mindset of both. And so I find value in having a black movement. I find value in left versus right. I understand that there's the gender movements. I understand there's lanes and movements just for our LGBTQ community. I get it. Because each of those lanes have certain things in common, certain histories, certain agendas that bind them together. And then at the same time, I've also noticed that with so many lanes, there's also the opportunity to divide and conquer or pit those lanes against each other. Have the blacks go against the whites. The Latinos go against the Asians. The Republicans go against the Democrats. And so on and so on and so on. So one of the things that caught my attention about this whole idea of underdog is that it reminded me of this old civil rights saying that if you're comfortable with everyone in your constituency, you don't have a constituency. Or said another way, I actually believe the saying is if you're comfortable with everyone in your coalition, you don't have a coalition. And so I thought to myself, the cool thing about underdog is that it brings together a lot of groups, a lot of lanes that at least can relate to this spirit of having the odds stacked against them to win in life. And that what if we could create a movement where a lot of these different lanes could come together to make change, right? To make things better. Because we knew we had something in common is that the odds were stacked against us and that it'd be awesome to remove some of those odds or those obstacles. And so underdog stuff is a lane, but it's a lane that is inclusive of multiple lanes. And to me, that's one of the ways change can happen. I say all that to say, what's old is new again. Most things aren't created out of nothing, right? They're building on ideas that have been timeless or things that have come before us. And so what I'd love to talk about is something I believe has been underreported, which is something called the Poor People's Campaign. And it was, and fast forward to today, is something that is in the spirit of how do we bring together the different lanes, the different silos, the different voting blocks, the different groups that could potentially unite together to drive change instead of doing their own things, or even worse, doing their own things and thinking that they're fighting amongst each other. What am I talking about? Well, let's go backwards before we go forward.
All working together to solve the problem of poverty. We're tired of working full-time jobs for part-time income, and we are tired of not being able to find work.
And it's now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
This is a reality. Now, when we come to Washington, we are coming to get our check.
We are demanding an emergency program to provide employment for everyone in need of a job. Or, if a work program is impractical, a guaranteed annual income at levels that sustain life in decent circumstances.
That was Martin Luther King shortly before he was assassinated. Just as a quick aside, underdogs out there, fighting on behalf of yourself, of your team, or your community, your people, in whatever respective lane you're in, just know that if people are hating on you, if people are discouraging you, if people are saying you just doing the most, you out of order, or people are saying you're being unpatriotic, just remember that Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 1960s, according to a Gallup poll, I believe, was disapproved of and disliked by 2/3 of Americans. That's right. The man that is revered today while he is gone was hated then. So just know sometimes no good deed goes unpunished, and that you get to keeping on. And having the haters actually is oftentimes a sign that you're agitating and moving things in the right direction. But that was just the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King talking about the movement that he was about to kick into gear called the Poor People's Campaign. It's reported that he saw poverty in Mississippi and the conditions the children were living in and knew that something needed to change. He organized a group of 50 leaders that represented Black Belt sharecroppers, Appalachian coal miners, Hispanic farm workers, American Indians, and wanted them to join a campaign he called the Poor People's Campaign. He realized that the poor lived in cruel and unjust society, and that if they could come together, they will and become a force for change. King believed that until we get past the debate of left versus right politics and see past the interlocking systems of violence, what he called racism, poverty, and militarism, if we didn't get past that, the majority of Americans would be blind to the lives of the poor. He said until the Poor People's Campaign compelled America to see them and us, that the ideal America would continue to remain out of reach. That was Martin Luther King 50 years ago. I would contend that the spirit and the detail and the idea were warranted then and still warranted now. And the good news is there are some people attempting to bring back the Poor People's Campaign during its 50th anniversary month, which is this month. And I'll share a little bit more about that because it's been underreported. We talk about the UNS. Shout out to Let Your Voice Be Heard, which comes on live on WHER 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon. They cover politics and what's going on in society and culture. And guess what? They talked about it. That's what they do. And that's why they're an awesome show. Shout out to Stanley, Alyssa, Selena, and Jackie, the crew at Let Your Voice Be Heard. But they talked about it. We talked about it. But when's the last time you watched the news the past couple weeks and you saw anybody mention the Poor People's Campaign? Again, I invite you to go scroll down the timelines of some of your favorite politicians who supposedly care about the middle class, supposedly care about the poor. And let me know how many mentions you see of uniting Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, folks of the same socioeconomic backgrounds, united as one to make things better for them, which means it's better for America. I'll wait. Bernie Sanders talking about the Poor People's Campaign? No, you know why? Probably because it's economics and it's race. And oftentimes we seem to separate the two. Shoot, we had a term called working class, which the white was silent, but it was in parentheses. And during the 2016 election, right, people talk about, oh, Donald Trump's going after the working class. Again, working class, economic phrase, but they left out the fact in parentheses that what Donald Trump was really going after was the white working class. Because it's America, you know, I get it. It's complex. It's dicey. We don't like to talk about race. Like to keep things separate. But Dr. King was like, no. They're interlocking. They're intersecting. We're going to talk about race, economics, and the militarization of our country. And if we can talk about all of them and unite as one, especially based on our social economic challenges, the fact that those underdogs wanted to go from tough situations to better situations, pursue the American dream, we can unite there. Some argue that this is the reason Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, because he had a big idea. One that wouldn't have Republicans and Democrats disagreeing over things like the national anthem and NFL players protesting. Instead, they might see themselves as one. And maybe folks who live in what some have called flyover country would realize their challenge to getting health care is the same challenge that folks in urban areas have also. Both American citizens, both challenge to get access to affordable health care and health insurance. See, there's more that we can unite against as opposed to what we've been sold to be fighting amongst each other for. Is it a good time to bring back the Poor People's March, the Poor People's Campaign? I love it. It's a big idea. It's an underdog type of idea, which is instead of us all fighting in our own lanes, which is okay. It doesn't have to be either or. I'm great with that because certain causes have certain agendas and need certain focus. So great, we should have that. But instead of then each lane fighting against each other, how about some of those lanes get together? Because that allows for a huge change. Also, you know, I've heard a lot of folks have a certain perspective. And I remember being young and I used to think this too, this whole idea of class and character, character and class. That somehow someone who was affluent, someone who had quote unquote made it, had a lot of character. And someone who was struggling, who may not have figured things out just yet, had some roadblocks in their way, didn't have as much character. That as a kid, I was taught I was supposed to look up to those who had made it, right? Look up to those who might be like a president of the United States. And now I'm old enough to know that just because someone's the president of the United States doesn't mean they have high character. Oh, look, case in point, like right now. And just because someone's not the president of the United States, just because someone does not have a lavish lifestyle or has made a lot of money, doesn't mean that they aren't high in character. Class doesn't equal character. Character doesn't equal class. But oftentimes I've heard things like people say, pull up yourself by your bootstraps. People haven't made it because they're lazy. People haven't made it because they haven't worked hard enough. Well, let's take a trip back before we go forward, because I love this conversation that Dr. King is having about boots and lacing them up. And sometimes it's hard to pull up yourself by your bootstraps if you don't have them.
What is it about the Negro? I mean, every other group that came as an immigrant somehow, not easily, but somehow got around it. Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
White America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, they don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.
Freedom and famine. That was Dr. King providing us some perspective that it's hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you don't have any boots. And so shout out to Dr. King for all that he did. And unfortunately, the Poor People's Campaign is one of the reasons why we wish he would have still been around, because I believe he was on to something. And some would say there are a lot of people who thought he was on to something, and that's why we don't have him here today. But the Poor People's Campaign is making a comeback. You probably haven't heard about it because it hasn't really been on the news. You know, who would want all the different voting blocks in different races, different socioeconomic levels, different situations? Who would want them all together? For some, it's better when we're divided than when we are all united. The campaign is making a comeback because some people feel the nation is still facing some of the same challenges it did back in the 1960s. The group of people who are bringing back the Poor People's Campaign believe that there's four diseases that threaten our nation's today's health. And that is racism, poverty, environmental devastation, and the war economy. Wouldn't it be something that instead of, to use one of our most historic dividing lines, white versus black, wouldn't it be something if the folks in coal mine country, who some of those companies are polluting their water with ash and some of the remnants of what those plants and stuff generate, would unite with the folks in Flint, Michigan, and a lot of the brothers and sisters there who don't have drinking water and running water that is clean? What would this world look like that instead of them thinking that it's us or them or them or us, that they were like, yo, your situation's messed up too. Mine too. And you know who isn't messed up? The folks who've been voting in office. Your Republicans, my Democrats, your Republicans, they chilling. Their water looks good. Their rivers look fine. That Congress care looks much better than my Affordable Care Act. But y'all don't hear me though. Those folks think they're fighting against each other when instead they're fighting to keep each other down. I think it's time to bring back the Poor People's Campaign, although I don't think it's coming back because nobody knows about it. Once again, as in the 1960s, there's only one way out for people directly harmed by the economic and political system to fight as one against a few who benefit from it. The problem isn't that we don't have enough money, it's that we don't have enough moral capacity to face what ails us as a society. So there is a call. It's called the National Call for Moral Revival. I invite all of you listening right now to Google the Poor People's Campaign, to Google a National Call for Moral Revival. It's happening literally right now as we speak. There's folks organizing. There's folks looking to make a big change, and not in the way we normally do it. Not white versus black, not rich versus poor. Well, it might be rich versus poor, but not white versus black. Not urban versus rural. Getting rid of some of those lines that divide us, and instead might be a way to unite us. This is what's happening out here right now.
All right, folks, this 2018 will mark the 50th anniversary of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s The Poor People's Campaign. Well, a new coalition of activists from around the nation gathered at the historic Howard Theater on Monday to revive that movement. It is called The Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival. Of course, Reverend Dr. William J. Barber, he, of course, has been mobilizing and organizing with others with the repairs of the breach for the past 18 months, Alpha Ray. And of course, they are focused on the same issues that the King was focused on.
Yeah, it's back, but you probably haven't heard of it. It's been underreported, but it's happening right now, and it's timely. Donald Trump wants to make America great again. I want to bring back some of the things from the 1960s that we started that we haven't finished. The job's not done yet. There's still more work to do. Darrell says, in order to bring back the Poor People's Campaign, you have to make it possible for poor people to achieve elected office. The way we have people to advocate for the margins, for the people in the margin of society, someone to give hope to the hopeless. That's what we first must achieve. Dow makes a good point. Supposedly the government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, by the people, for the people. It's supposed to be a representation of American citizens. And whether someone has come from challenge situations and they've made it and they then want to go into politics, or whether they're still in the challenging situation and they want to go into politics, I do believe Dow makes a great point. Representation matters. And so no matter what your background is, if you aren't one who's concerned about those who are the most challenged in our society, then you likely haven't earned the right to represent. You haven't earned the right to be in office.
So for 18 months, we've been traveling around the country. You know, a lot of media didn't pay attention, but we weren't worried about that. We were training. We were organized from the bottom up. Clergy, all different races, creeds, colors, sexualities, anchor teams in a minimum of 25 states that are organizing 1,000 people. Today, we launched, we announced the Poor People's Campaign National Call for Moral Revival. In May, we will launch 40 straight days in a minimum 25 state capitals and the District of Columbia and the U.S. Capitol, not outside now, not on the grass, of direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience, voter registration, voter empowerment, and power building in around systemic racism. And our penetration point for that is voter suppression, one of them, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, the war economy. And we're going to take on this immoral narrative that has been pushed by the Christian nationalism and so-called white evangelism. We had people that talked today from every state on Zoom in the room. We had impacted people. We had 5-6 denominational leaders, not preachers, but the actual leaders. Two of them actually head their denominations who were in. We had a leader of the Union Movement, SEIU. We've had Fight for 15 Workers, the Apache Nation, and other Native Americans are in the room. We're building this fusion coalition to launch this campaign. We launched 40 days, but the campaign will last well beyond 40.
Republican versus Democrat. Black versus white. Hispanic versus Asian. Straight versus homosexual. Christian versus Muslim. That ain't working for us. It's not working for us. It wasn't working from the 1600s to the 1960s. It wasn't working from the 1960s to now, and it's not going to work going forward. I applaud the folks that are attempting to bring back the Poor People's Campaign, because they're having us relook at what are the lanes, the dividing lines that we have that work for us and the ones that we have that don't. And for me, it's not an either or. I want groups dedicated to their specific lanes, but I also want us to figure out how can we create coalitions that drive even bigger changes. Racism, poverty, environmental devastation, war economy, those ain't left versus right things. There's companies polluting in rural America. There's folks polluting in urban areas. There's folks polluting in Flint, Michigan. That ain't left versus right. I'm tired of 500 or so men and women in Congress getting Congress care while about 300 million try to figure out their own health care. See, I think we got the lines all wrong. How about the 300 million figure out how to live just like the 500 in Congress, as opposed to each of us chopping ourselves up saying, I got to get a little something and you don't get to have. And I get to have, but you don't get it. I don't want the divide lines to no longer be black, white, left, right. That ain't working for us. King was on to something. No wonder we don't have him here today with us.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.